Well, I've put on a white protective suit over my clothes and blue plastic covers over my shoes, and I've come into the most spectacular glass house. And if I look along the rows of the plants, I think I'm going to find the owner. Yes, here he is. Ken Parkinson.
That's right. Hello, Susan.
Close up with your crop, as always.
Well, this is actually my 35th tomato crop. This time of the year, we've got 35,000 plants.
They are towering above me, the tomatoes. And in this Leaf podcast featuring leaf farmers in different parts of the world, both here in the UK and also in East Africa, in Kenya, this time we're going to look a bit about resource management. And what strikes me when you come into a growing environment like this one, Ken, is how much you do finally control everything.
We have a weather station on the side of the glass houses, and we measure the radiation, the wind speed, any rain that's coming down, and this information is fed back to the computer, and the computer then can control the environment within the greenhouse.
From the plastic covered ground beneath our feet, what have you got controlling under here?
The white plastic sheet is there to isolate the crop from the soil, which in itself could carry nasties, and also to reflect light. So in the dark days of winter, when we plant, we can get the maximum amount of light on the young plants.
Then underneath the beds, the hydroponic system where the tomatoes are rooted, what goes on under there?
When we water the plants in a hydroponic system, we always have a certain amount of runoff. This hanging gutter actually collects the runoff and channels it down to a central point where we can store it in tanks and use it on other crops.
And underneath some of them, there's like a clear plastic tube. What's that?
Yeah, that's carrying CO2 for enriching the atmosphere. Gives us about a 10% increase in yield.
And just darting over at your head there, you've got quite a few bumblebees in here.
Yeah,
that's another input.
We keep bumblebees in the greenhouse to pollinate flowers. In the old days, we'd be trying to do it with a jet of water by physically knocking them, but that led to all sorts of fungal problems, which meant spraying plants, which we don't want to do. Then we've had mechanical devices to try to vibrate the trusses, which is very hard on the people using them. But the introduction of bumblebees has just been wonderful because the bees know exactly the right time to pollinate the flower. And the better the pollination, the more seed set, the bigger the fruit.
You, as a supplier to Waitrose, farm to the Leaf Mark standards. How important are those principles to you?
This is my environment. My children have been brought up here. My grandchildren are here now. So it's important to us that the environment is protected. The problem in the past has been that we haven't really told people what we're doing. And using the leaf mark is one way we can do this.
And still learning?
Still learning. You know, the challenge of just trying to do it that little bit better, trying to be that little bit more economic with the inputs.
Now, talking of being economic with inputs, let's go all the way over to Kenya to meet a farmer there who's using leaf principles to make the absolute most of one of his most important resources, and that is water.
My name's Benson Jiroge, and I'm a leaf farmer in Africa, based in Kenya, and I grow runner beans, French beans, sugar snaps, and snow peas, all exported into the UK market. And we also do cabbages and local vegetables for the people around.
Benson Jiroge chose to start our discussion on resource use down by the river that runs past the farm. But then we moved up into the plots and between the trellises of a magnificent crop of runner beans, which are irrigated with great care.
As a leaf farmer, I had to make a decision on the best method available to me based on the water volume available. I came up with drip irrigation because it is the most efficient in terms of water volume needed. You have to use the water wisely. Every drop of water counts.
Together with other farmers in the area, Benson has run experiments to find the most efficient use of water. They found that by shifting the timing of irrigation of a crop like runner beans, they can reduce the water used by 70%.
For me, as a leaf farmer that I am, The monitoring is continuous. It is not an event. It is a process. And the results of using the resources wisely is, one, the resources are sustainably maintained, not only for this crop, but even for other crops that will come after this. Two, the crop yields. As we can see, a good crop, that is, the crop is happy, it gives us good yields. Three, as for all the farmers, the aim is to make money. So wise utilization of resources gives good profits to the farmer. Every drop of water counts. Every step in integrated farm management counts. That is what being a leaf farmer is all about. It makes money sustainably for this crop, for this generation, and for generations to come.
Back now on the south coast of Britain, inside one of Ken Parkinson's glasshouses, surrounded once again by gorgeous, bright red tomatoes growing from the vines all around us. Ken, what do you think of that comment there from Benson from the slopes of Mount Kenya, that to him, every drop of water counts, every part of integrated farm management counts. Does that strike a chord with you?
Of course it's true. It's just as true for us as it is for Benson. And my philosophy is that I want to leave this place better than it was when I started.
That is a bigger picture, isn't it, than just tomatoes or just this season or getting through the next year. It's taking the longer view.
And when I first came into the industry, there was some bad practices going on. And I've almost seen that completely turn around. It's just a joy to see.
You feel good about farming?
People think it's funny that after 30-odd years of growing tomatoes, that when the first flower appears on the new plants, I get excited. Then I get excited again when the first tomato starts to ripen. It's just something that's there and will be, I guess, until I'm allowed to retire.
Whenever that is. Ken Parkinson, thank you very much indeed for showing me around.
Thank you.